Hello and welcome to Players Anatomy. I am your host, Charlie DeClean. I am a physical therapist at Bell & Health Titletown Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, a stone's throw away from iconic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. On today's episode, we have an interview with Sam Creer. Sam is a physical therapist and athletic trainer here at Bell & Health. Sam specializes in medical bike fits, and he is going to share his expertise on the topic of the importance of a good bike fit. So stretch out, warm up, and get ready. This is Players Anatomy. News of the day. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the really center forward for the Milwaukee Bucks, had a hyperextension knee injury, and this has really caused quite an uproar, a classic issue we have in the medical field of, so his MRI was clear, so that's great news. And don't get me wrong, it is, but he is by far not in the clear yet. So let's go through what all happened here. He had what was diagnosed as a hyperextension knee injury. So what that means is hyperextension just simply means that his knee went past straight. So if when people kind of lock out their knees, or what is called hyperextending the knees, they go past straight. And your knee is really not designed to do that. We have a lot of fail safes that are in place so that that does not happen. So from a ligamentous standpoint, so ligaments are, think of them as thick rubber bands that connect bone to bone. And really in the knee, you have four that help stabilize the knee. So you have your anterior and posterior cruciate ligament. Those are called your ACL and PCL. Then you have on the inside and outside your MCL and LCL, or your medial and lateral collateral ligaments. Now, with the way that he went down, and this is again where everybody is different, but absolutely it is common with a severe hyperextension injury that you could at a minimum sprain or partially tear your ACL or your PCL. And it looks like from the MRI that those are clean, which is great news. But the other tissues that definitely take a hit when you hyperextend your knee, because again, the knee is not built to go that way, one would be that you have a capsule. So think of it as, again, a bunch of little rubber bands whose job is to keep everything in place in the knee joint. And posterior means the backside. So the rubber bands, or that posterior capsule on the backside of his knee, there is no doubt that that part of his knee was stressed to the max that stopped his knee from completely snapping here. So that's one tissue that we got to keep an eye on. We'll see how he does there. Common injury with that. But then the other piece too is a bone bruise. So again, knee not designed to go that way. So bones not designed to glide and go that way. And what can end up happening is that two bones, really in this case, your thigh bone, your femur, your shin bone, your tibia, more or less kind of clap together in that moment, and you can bruise the bone. That can be, for one, very painful, but we also have to be careful not to do too much too soon before that heals. Otherwise, you risk cartilage damage in the future. So, you know, the hardest part with this one is everybody's different. You know, I can't tell you how many people right after that injury were blowing up my phone and asking me questions, or asking my colleagues here questions, and we talk about it. But everybody's built differently. Some people are just kind of built kind of Gumby-like, and their knees can joints can take a lot. Other people's, they barely do anything, and they have a major injury. So the hardest part that people always forget is everyone's different. Every case is individual, and we just don't know. But the hard part, too, is that you want to believe, again, being that it's now there in the finals, that is he going to be ready? Is he going to be ready? And honestly, that is 100% his own timeline. You know, some of our docs can't stand it when, you know, people establish timelines for some of these people because it puts so much pressure on their medical staff. And that's why I'm not going to even try. Honestly, we have no idea. You know, the only person that really knows his day-to-day is Giannis. And it seems like they're taking this day-to-day, which you would hope is a good sign, but we simply don't know. So once again, we wish Giannis nothing but the best. I hope he does well. I hope he bounces back. It'd be great to see him in these finals. But I just don't know. I have no idea if that's possible. So wish him nothing but the best in his recovery. For today's interview, we welcome back Sam Creer. As I mentioned before, Sam is a physical therapist and athletic trainer here at Bell & Health Titletown. He developed our cycling assessment, and specifically the medical bike fit. And Sam is going to share his expertise on the importance of a good bike fit. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Here is Sam Creer. All right, Sam, well, welcome. Thanks for joining us. So give our listeners a little background. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, just like Nate, I am a Wisconsin product. Not quite as local. I grew up in Sheboygan County in a tiny little town called Random Lake. From there, I went to school at Madison. Oddly enough, I went there to be an engineer. Funny how that turned out. But I left there a physical therapist and athletic trainer. Then I cut my teeth in Milwaukee a little bit at Freightert. I started to get introduced to the idea of bike fit there. There was a physical therapist on staff that did do bike fits. But it wasn't until we came up here with Bellin and really started to explore what we could do with bike fit, especially with a lot of the technology that we got on hand at our clinic now. So yeah, growing up, I was a general sport athlete. You know, I liked soccer, liked golf, liked basketball. Then I started getting to snowboarding, rock climbing, a lot of weird stuff. And then that just kind of kept going into triathlon. So yeah, that's kind of how I got my start in cycling. But yeah, all over the state a little bit.
So when is the first time you truly got into cycling for an exercise and then for competition?
Like most kids, I got around on my bike. My bike was my mode of transportation. And then even once I got my license, it was either bike or drive my mom's minivan. So I still am not sure what the lesser of the two evils is. So I kept riding a good bit then. In college, I bought my first bike, my first road bike, because I wanted to commute from grad school. I lived a little bit further off campus in Madison. So I thought, hey, let's do the healthy thing and balance out those 40 pounds I gained in undergrad and do a little bit more biking. So that was the first time I actually thought about doing triathlons, but grad school had other plans and just kept me very busy. So like most things as an adult, I got into more endurance sports and cycling because my wife made me. Not necessarily made me, but she is the one. She was always a runner, and then I got into running. And then she read a book about Ironman, and we got into triathlon. So it was probably 2009 where she first had her epiphany of, like, I want to do these. And I was like, well, that's a terrible idea. You don't even own a bike, and you don't know how to swim. So she really took it on herself and learned how to swim, got into some swimming for triathlon classes, and we both got road bikes and did our first summer of triathlon racing on road bikes with clip-on aero bars, and it's kind of exploded since.
Kind of gone from there. You know, I put it in the description of today's episode of the cycle assessment for those of you that want to have a little bit better of a picture of what Sam's talking about here. But if you do a basic search of just common misunderstandings and mistake with cycling, it is amazing how like 75% of things listed is about how you fit your bike. So what is it, do you feel, about it? I mean, so first of all, and again, I'm newer to riding. I don't do it for competition. I just do it for exercise. And I'm even amazed how many things can be adjusted on a bike. And so why is it so hard? How are so many people not fit correctly to their bike?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that the concept of having an ideal fit is one of those things that's just such a dramatic oversimplification that people kind of get stuck in the trap of, oh, well, that other person did it, so it works for me. It's like runners getting started in running. You know, they buy their first pair of running shoes because someone recommended it to them. You know, someone getting into biking is going to fit their bike based on someone recommends to them. And they might have totally different goals. They might have totally different heights. They might have different experience with exercise. You know, one might be doing CrossFit. The other one might not have done a squat for 7 years. So, you know, what are they getting into? Why are they getting into it? All those things, you know, goals and our body types influence our fit, you know, as much as anything else. And I think that when we get started, we're not really sure what our goals are. So we kind of just do these generic fits, and the direction we go in cycling might need us to alter that, and we just never do. And, you know, I think as people start to get more into it, especially, that's when they need to be more specific and be pickier with how they're set up on their bike, for sure.
So when's the first time you actually saw yourself? Like, when did you get fit right away when you bought yours?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was like immediately right away. I was so excited when I got, my first road bike. No, that was, I don't even remember how I got set up on that. My first triathlon bike, Yes. But I also, just like everyone else, made a really bad decision on that because I went straight after work to this bike shop to pick it up. And I was so excited. I never had a triathlon bike before. And like my size had come in, they're all ready to go. And I roll and he's like, all right, well, you know, we can fit you now or you can come back later and fit. I was just like, no, let's just do this now. And so here I am in like khaki pants and a polo shirt, jumping onto this triathlon bike that feels like you almost need to be a contortionist to get on. And he's like, how's that feel? And in my mind, I'm just like, this feels awful. And I was like dreading that, like, this is how it's supposed to feel. I don't like this sport anymore. Like, I just feel like I just went up an octave and I don't know why, but it's just not right. And so he made a couple adjustments, but I remember leaving with this kind of mystified look of like, what did I just get myself into? This is awful. But I mean, again, I was also wearing pants that had no give and a tucked in shirt. And so, but like, that's how he fit me. So, you know, I think that that also kind of fueled my desire to get into fitting for my own personal gain of like never really believing my fit was good for me and never really confidently getting on my bike like this is perfect, you know, and now I have a better understanding of, you know, that process and, you know, how it's a little bit of a moving target on a moving background, but probably should never be done in khakis and a polo.
Yeah, so, I would agree with that. Yeah. I think we're definitely spoiled in this area in Green Bay, Wisconsin here where we have, you know, I mean, just in here, we're recording this in the cycling lab right now. So Pete's Garage, In Competition, you know, Broken Spoke. I know we've done stuff with Stadium Bike. You know, we're spoiled. We got some really good groups in town here and they all offer bike fits. What are you doing different that is not happening at the actual bike shops? Like how have you found that relationship with our bike shops?
Yeah, that was tricky. You know, starting off, the shops were as receptive as I could have hoped them to be. And then our relationships have grown since. You know, I feel like, you know, when we kind of showed up at their doorstep saying, hey, we're going to start doing bike fits, it's kind of like we were peeing on their fence post a little bit. But especially early on and still now, you know, one of the things that I really emphasize to them is, you know, my background is in the body. You know, my cheesy line is you need two things to go for a bike ride, a body and a bike. And we definitely bring our A game when it comes to the body and biomechanics and, you know, performance. So, you know, if they're dealing with riders that are having injury issues, nagging things that are struggling to go away, or just stuff that seems weird or funny, or, you know, maybe they've done a fit and they're still having problems, you know, that's when I really want them to, you know, think about me and think about, you know, what we can do to keep their riders on their bikes. And they've been really responsive to that. And I think, you know, we wanted them to come in and see what we were doing. And, you know, for handling the bike shops, I didn't want it to have it be a better or worse kind of comparison, but more a, this is going to be perfect for especially people with injuries. You know, if they have someone who's coming in, it's their first bike, you know, a lot of them have sizing setups, a lot of them have, you know, fit setups that can help get those people set up, you know, better than I did when I got my first bike. But I also wanted them to know that, you know, we can tailor-made this, we can make adjustments to their bike. You know, if they need new parts, we're going to be sending them right back to the bike shops. I made that very clear that, you know, I'm not selling stuff out of here. You know, if they refer me to someone and I need to have them go back and get a new seat or a new stem or new handlebars or crank arms, you know, I'm going to send them right back to the shop that sent them here. And I think the shops were really responsive to that. You know, we want to keep their riders healthy and keep them buying stuff from their stores as much as they do.
And that's one of the things I think that's been so interesting to me too, as you've grown this kind of learn along the line of is, it's so easy to buy stuff online now, right? It's never been easier. Anything you need for your bike, you can buy online. But it is amazing that I think people in general overgeneralize, well, a stem's a stem. It's like, well, actually it's not. And then also knowing how to properly install it without it being legitimately dangerous for you when you're riding is a big deal, right? So I know that's, I know that's one of the things you've worked hardest on that it feels like a lot of the bike shops have been very receptive of. Do not buy parts online. Please, please, please go buy them through your bike shop, you're not really going to pay more. There's this misconception like everything's cheaper online. It's not. And they're going to install it properly for you. And you can feel safe that when you're going 25 to 30 miles an hour down a hill, that your pedal's not going to fall off.
Yeah. 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 It's scary to hear some of those stories of the bike falling apart underneath the rider. I think anytime you can get it into a shop, I mean, those guys are the professionals. They know bikes better than anyone. They are up to date on the new parts coming out, the new technology coming out for cycling. And, you know, I keep up on that side of things, but I also tell people, like, we have to keep up on the new cutting edge technology for taking care of the body too. So, you know, that's why it's really nice for me to have a great relationship with the bike shops, because I can roll in there and just say, hey, I have a person with XYZ. I would like to do this. Is there anything that I'm not thinking? Is there any part that you guys provide? Any thoughts they have on it? And, you know, it's generally a very good communal conversation. You know, I've really enjoyed the fact that it's, you know, in my mind, I want Green Bay to have kind of like a fit community, in the sense of, you know, if I'm struggling, I can go to, you know, Randy at Stadium Bike Gym, at Pete's Garage. You know, Brian McWilliams does a great job fitting. You know, we can bounce ideas off of each other to make sure that, you know, people are, again, staying active in the way we want them to stay active. The more active people there are in Green Bay, the more bikers there are in Green Bay, the more positive things we see for biking, you know, more bike lanes showing up, you know, better trail maintenance. You know, the Fox River Trail, because cyclists are stubborn and persistent people, is now plowed in winter. That's fantastic. You're seeing golf courses open up in winter for fat biking. You know, there's so much that's happening because there's such a strong cycling community. And, you know, if people are getting on bikes and getting hurt, they're not going to stay on bikes. If people are getting on bikes and not comfortable, they're not going to stay on bikes. So, you know, the more we can do to keep people healthy, comfortable as a community of, you know, fitters almost, the happier our cycling community is going to be in general.
Yeah. And I think what's been interesting, I know I've shared quite a few patients with you over the years that, you know, we do some rehab, it's time to get back on the bike, and maybe it started because of some pain on their bike, right? And I know some of my favorite stories that I've had with you, you know, I had you work with one patient, and I'm like, so what'd you change on the bike? You're like, nothing. We didn't change one thing. Not one thing needed adjustment. It was just cueing them. They kept sliding forward on the seat. They just need to make sure they stay back. Then they're more in an ideal position and everything worked. It's like, wow, so it really can be that simple. And this goes back to the same thing we talked about on last episode with Nate about running, of the power of seeing yourself on film. What you think you feel and see is very different than what you actually will see, right? And don't get me wrong, again, if you watch the video that's in the link that's today's description, you can see all the toys. We have a lot of fun toys, right? But they're just tools to help us get the most out of patients quicker, right? Make changes quicker, get you more comfortable quicker. So what are the common things you see? I mean, we talk obviously positioning on the bike, but then the medical side of it. I know I've shared a patient with you that had an arthritic hip. And so although according to how anybody would do a fit, he was fit perfect, right? But that did not work for him because of his arthritic kick. Every time that knee came up around the crank, he got pain. And making an adjustment like a taller stem that just brought him up a little bit, opened up the hip a little bit, was all it took, even though that would not have been in a classic fit. It's not what the manual says. What are some common things you see from a medical standpoint that people should be aware of, that there is something that can be done for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think each kind of area of the body has their own issues. You know, if we start from the top down, you know, especially in the triathlon community, who have gone from probably riding in a more comfortable position or riding a road bike indoor on a trainer over winter to suddenly going outside and they get in this really aggressive position and their head's not used to being cranked almost like 90 degrees to look forward to make sure they're not going to run into a car or a cow. And they deal with a lot of neck issues. So, you know, sometimes it's how can we adjust your bike? Sometimes it's your thoracic spine is incredibly stiff. Let's work on some mobility exercises, you know, making sure people are being consistent with those type of things before and after ride. You know, it's really easy to say, yeah, I foam roll, but you know, how are you doing it? Are you pairing it with an exercise? So the neck is a really common one. You know, the low back and saddle kind of blends together. You know, if people aren't set up right, they might have a little too much rocking in the saddle, which can make things really uncomfortable. But I've also seen people with, you know, a little bit more of previous issues in their back, struggling with maybe, you know, decreased mobility there. If they're rocking in the saddle and their back, low back can't handle that ask on mobility, then they can deal with some symptoms. The hips are really important to me. I always tell my bikers, I'm worried about runners running out their knees. I'm worried about bikers biking out their hips, just because it can be such a slow process of, you know, being in too aggressive of a position. And actually our femur will run into our pelvis, our acetabulum, and it kind of creates this slow process of growing a little bit more bone around the acetabulum, and then they run out of hip mobility. And then you see these folks biking down the Fox River Trail with their knees, you know, kicking out to the side, almost like it's a sail. And so that's something that we see a lot. You know, we have to really work to make sure we're keeping honest with the hip mobility in our assessments, and you know, what they're asking out of it when they're in their positions on the bike. Anterior knee pain, you know, find me a sport that doesn't deal with anterior knee pain, and I'll call it ping pong. You know, so that's something we see a lot. That can be a little tricky because, you know, we can actually get hamstring pain, which we think of kind of a back of the leg or back of the knee pain. But some of those tendons creep around to the front, and that can be an anterior knee pain. Or if people are really forward on their bike, you know, they're going to put a lot of stress on their patellofemoral joint. So we got to kind of keep that under wraps too. And there's really good kind of metrics for fitting that keeps tabs on those. And then foot and ankle. Usually that's going to be issues with hot spots. You know, is someone's shoe fitting properly? You know, how does their foot alignment look? You know, we all have different feet. There's a lot of work done on orthotics and shoe types for runners, but it's so different because there's impact with running. Cycling, there's not impact. So how we consider the foot and how we approach the mechanics of the foot is very different from running. So I think a lot of people will kind of have that knee-jerk reaction of like, oh, I use this in my running shoe. And then they mess with something, and then it just downward spirals on them.
Yeah, and so we kind of a follow-up to that as well. We see this a lot in runners. I talked about those with Nate on the last one. You know, it's amazing how many runners we see. What do you do for strengthening? And they list core and upper body exercises only. Do you find that to be similar in the cycling world? Is it the same thing that you'll see them do a lot of core and upper body, and they're like, well, I bike for my legs. I don't need to do anything else. Is it similar in both worlds or not as much?
I would say we don't see core and upper body in cyclists, but we also don't see a lot of lower extremity strengthening either. You know, that's one of my
it's
biggest...
It's more just cardio? Like, yeah, they'll only bike or run?
Like, bike every day. I just go out and bike. You know, you look at... Watch the Tour de France, and it's very apparent that a lot of those guys aren't doing upper body either, but at the same time, they're looking to... You know, they don't want any extra weight on them. So, you know, with some of the triathletes, we'll see people doing more strength and conditioning programs. It's probably 90% of my bike fits. I'm trying to do some sort of plug to get them on some base strengthening program. You know, the power position of cycling is so naturally linked to their squatting position that it's a pretty easy comparison to draw and a pretty easy dot to connect. So people usually buy in pretty quick, but you know, how their squatting position influences how we load the front of the knee versus the hamstring, and how that ties into cycling and moving the seat forward and backward or up and down. You know, I think if we're trying to strengthen up their body to handle a cycling position, a squatting maneuver is just a fantastic way of doing that. So yeah, I push it a lot, and I think people generally respond pretty well to that. But yeah, I was listening to the podcast with Nate, and I was like, he's stealing all my thunder. Like, I'm going to be saying all the same stuff next time.
I think it's just a good common message to people of like, so many people just underestimate how important just general strength training is. I think that's really what it is. Well, it's not picking on runners and cycling. It doesn't matter what we come up with, it's going to be the same thing.
There's also the misconception too that like, oh, I don't want to bulk up. Like, okay, most of the, you know, the people that are coming in here, we're not on like serious creatine. We're not looking to play defensive line. You know, I it was nice. I started I had a desk next to Nate a few years ago, and that was one of the biggest things that I learned from him. It was like, I need to reprogram how I approach my strengthening for endurance athletics. And the first summer that I worked with him or was just around him more, I learned so much by osmosis that the main thing I did for my next marathon is I actually ran less and strength trained more, and I dropped 20 minutes off my time. And it was one of those things of like, I don't know how this was possible. I just had my first kid. I have no spare time. I don't sleep at night. Like, but really, you know, strength training helps load our bodies, our joints, our tendons, our muscles in ways that makes them more responsive to endurance athletics. It also does a great job of helping build our circulation in our muscles. So even though it's not an endurance activity, it primes our body to be more successful with them. So yeah. And going back, so true with cycling.
Going back to what you said about the bulking up too, I also love the misconception of like, I'm going to grab some 5 pounders and I'm worried about being my shirt not fitting. Like,
oh yeah,
you have no idea how hard and how often you have to lift to put on bulk.
Oh man.
That's my other favorite.
Yeah.
Definitely happens more in our female population. Like, I don't want to get any bigger. And I'm like, that was never a worry of mine at all.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Trust me. So, well, good, man. I think the biggest thing for cyclists that I've heard you say time and time again is just, you know, knowing that the resources you have. I know you talked about, I talked about this offline, you plug this, but you know, again, me new to the cycling world, I didn't know that every shop doesn't carry every type of bike. So do your research. What brand is your bike? What bike shop services that? Make a relationship with your bike shop. 100%, you got to do that. Get your tune-ups right. Like, yeah, make sure your bike is safe to ride. We have a free walk-in injury clinic, and I feel you and I have talked about this a lot. I think our walk-in injury clinic does a great job of connecting our team right. So for those cyclists, know that we have a free walk-in injury clinic. If something's not right, start there. It's free. If they feel it's needed, it's not something simple, they'll connect them with you and move on. What other resources, what other things do cyclists need to be aware of that they should be knowing and developing, if you will?
Yeah. I just want to touch on the walk-in injury clinic. You know, cyclists deal with normal aches and pains, muscle issues, joint issues, but you know, people crash too. And our staff down in the community athletic training room is fantastic. You know, if you're dealing with road rash, stuff like that, go in, get that taken care of, get that covered up, get it comfortable, get it healed, and get back out and enjoying your rides. You know, the community resources, you know, I think we do a lot with fitting for the medical side of things, but the performance side of things also comes into play. And, you know, it's a little bit of an old machine, but we use a CompuTrainer in here because it does a great spin scan analysis. And I think, you know, I'm starting to get more people coming in that are just interested in their power development. How are they working through their pedal stroke? You know, are they efficient? Are they inefficient? How could their fit influence that? So that's a resource that I think gets heavily underutilized, and we do a lot with that. You know, on the other side of performance, you know, organization is key. You know, having a good relationship with your bike shop is important for having a healthy bike. They all have great rides. You know, I feel like each bike shop has a ride a different night of the week, or there's different community rides. There's a highly competitive, really good ride that leaves out of Swan Circle into Pier every morning if you're looking for a good challenge. But, you know, they'll provide those resources on keeping your bike up to date, in tune, good tech on it, but they'll also provide opportunities to ride, whether it's road or mountain bike. Broken Spoke does mountain bike rides every Wednesday. You know, Pete's Garage does an outdoor road ride every Tuesday night. I think Broken has one on Sundays as well. In winter, it changes. You know, are they doing fat tire rides at, you know, one spot or another spot? So their social media for all the shops is a fantastic follow. They keep things really light, fresh, up to date, and relevant, which is awesome. But I also think that we're starting to see a network of coaches grow in the community. So, you know, whether it's a cycling specific coach or a USA Triathlon specific coach, Nate is a USA track and field coach, and I lean on him a lot. And his knowledge, you know, it spans into that multi-sport world. Training principles are very similar. Brian McWilliams does a lot with the youth multi-sport team. He also does coaching for adults. Pete Christensen does a fantastic job. I know some of his racers have just qualified for Ironman 70.3 Worlds. So, you know, there are resources here, and sometimes it's hard to know where to look or where to find. And, you know, that was a big thing for me when we were starting explain this is, you know, when I moved up here, it was hard for me to kind of get going. And, you know, we got into Green Bay Multisport Group, and that kind of helped open some doors for us. But like you said, there's a lot of great resources around here. And just starting at the shops, you know, if you want to get real serious and real organized, I highly recommend it. You know, we can always kind of blindly find our way through things, but a coach can answer a lot of those questions of, you know, helping them. That's a normal thing I expect in terms of recovery, or ooh, this doesn't look normal. Let's get you in to see, you know, someone at a PT clinic or get checked out by a doc. You know, they're nice resources for that as well.
And I think I had both my kids did the youth triathlon club with Brian McWilliams. Nice little shout out for him. He's fantastic. And even the rides is too, I think. Make it social. I think that's maybe the thing we didn't put in the words. Make it social. Don't just do it on your own. Get a coach. Be social. You know, you'll have way more opportunity to stick with it. Anything we missed? Anything else? Any other words of wisdom for our cyclists out there?
Oh, man. You know, I think get out, stay out, use the resources that we have. Again, the more people that are using the Fox River Trail, the more people that are using the bike lanes, the more people that are joining these group rides. Hey, man, this group ride is packed. Cool, let's start another one. You know, the more people that are buying into the community of cycling, the more it's going to carry momentum to have just a good positive change for cycling in the area. You know, we look at towns like Madison that, you know, they've had it for a while. It took Madison a long time to become a great cycling community. And I think we're getting the groundwork in this area to you know, kind of complement that, you know, make it a better area for commuting, make it a better area for recreational riding, make it a better area for competitive riding. And I think we're starting to see that growth happen. So keep that momentum, keep riding.
Awesome. Well, thank you for our time. And I hope everybody enjoyed this. And thanks for your time, bud.
No problem.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Sam Creer. I included a link in the bio of the description below to some more information about Sam and another link to more about the cycling assessment. Really great information. Sam's a great guy. If you ever get the chance to work with him in person, he is amazing at what I call at just including the chaos of sports into all of his rehab protocols and his treatment plans. He's just a great guy to work with. Really, really bright. Great guy to have in the clinic. And then really is just amazing with bikes and with people. You know, I always tell people my favorite story when people ask, like, oh my gosh, how much is he going to change my bike? And my favorite one is the one person that was just struggling with just not hitting times that he wanted to hit and was having a little bit of pain. And all Sam did was video. And Sam found that this person kept scooting forward on their seat, which changed a little bit of everything mechanically, just cued that person to stay back in the saddle. And that changed everything for that person. So sometimes it's not always about an adjustment to the bike, sometimes an adjustment to the person. So really good stuff from Sam. Again, if you have any questions or comments for us, leave it, you know, either directly here, just respond to us, or again, any of our social media handles, we'd love to. He's always looking for a new challenge, but he's, again, always looking to make his product better as well. Well, we're nearing the end of the episode of Player's Anatomy today. Thank you again for listening. If you'd like to hear us again, please hit subscribe. Tell a friend. We'll continue to try to grow our listening. And again, to keep up on anything that is Bell & Health Titletown happenings, go on any social media platform and search at Bell & Health Titletown. And finally, Charlie's Cut. So Tour de France, we'll figure I'd stay on the topic of cycling. So Tour de France has just started this past week. And I just think this is just another example of that. I hope we all appreciate the 1% of the 1%. So what I mean by that is when you really think about these professional athletes in any sport, they are literally the best 1% of the top 1%. It's just incredible. 21 races in 23 days. That's what this will be. And I know that they work on teams and they do different things, but the amount of elevation these guys deal with, the amount of speed and how hard and how much power they're pushing, it is unbelievable what they're able to push their bodies to do. I know that there has been a ton of problems in the past with cycling, with blood doping, all these things. Still,
it is still unbelievable what they are capable of doing. From an endurance standpoint, you know, you hear things like VO2 max, all these things, but at the end of the day, 21 races in 23 days is absolutely insane. We're seeing it also if you're watching any of the Euros or the Copa America for soccer. Again, these are the 1% of the 1%, and it's just so amazing. And I think sometimes we forget that. I know my family, we really enjoyed, you know, the Olympics are coming up here at the end of July. All the U.S. trials have been going on, and I love watching, you know, obviously it's only the U.S. trials right now, but just the Olympics are, again, the 1% of the 1%. And I hope we just appreciate that. I know at times, you know, you have your favorite team and you love to say, oh, this guy sucks, oh, that girl sucks. At the end of the day, no, they don't. They are the 1% of the 1%. They're absolutely incredible. And it's just at times I hope people just truly appreciate the athleticism and dedication commitment it takes to compete at that level, and also appreciate it besides just criticizing it. Well, thank you again for listening. I am Charlie DeClean, and we'll see you next time on Players and Attic.